Thank you for joining us for the CMC Weekly Podcast. God has a fulfilling and rewarding life for you as you pursue His plan with all of your heart. Our prayer is that you'll find direction and wisdom as you connect with us through our weekly podcast. Join us now for a message from Pastor David Pate.
Well, whether you're here in this room or listening by podcast, we're glad that you're with us as we talk today about ups and downs and dry seasons. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build up, a time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to grieve, a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to turn away. Time to search, a time to quit searching. Time to keep, a time to throw away," which we do that a lot. A time to tear, a time to mend, a time to be quiet, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. To me, this verse describes perfectly what happens in life. And I don't know if your life is like mine, but life brings a lot of ups and downs. I mean, that is just what life is. One minute, everything could be amazing, and the next minute, you can be frustrated and hating everything that's going on around you. One minute, everything can be great at home, and then one little sentence, one little conversation happens that makes things tense and awkward, and isn't that fun? One minute everything is going great at school, and then drama starts and you don't want to be at school anymore. You know, one minute everything's going great at work, and then someone gets annoying, or a policy is changed, or the way things are going get very, very frustrated. I mean, we have these ups and these downs. One minute everything's going great in a friend group or in a relationship, and then, wow, how did we get here? How did this happen? I mean, this right here, I mean, Solomon had it down that life has ups and downs and ins and outs. And my dad is a big car guy. And I think that must be where my son Eli gets it from. He absolutely loves cars. He loves hanging out with Mr. Terry. And he's a big car guy. Well, my dad bought me, when I was growing up, an IROC Z28. Chevy Camaro, and I was not a car guy, but I may like to drive car guy. That is who I am. If it's broke, burn it and get a new one is always my philosophy. But my dad loved to tinker, loved to fix, so he got me a car that he could tinker and fix, but it had a lot of torque and a lot of power, and I loved growing up and cruising down the strip. That was where it was at. That was living the dream, was to go to my job that I had at my batting cages and arcade and spend every dime putting gas in that car. And so I would drive that strip and I would cruise. And back then I had my tape deck and I would have my mixtape. And if you don't know what a mixtape is, you have not lived. But a mixtape is where you listen to the radio and you wait for that song to come on and you unpause it and it records the song you need. There was no iTunes. There was no anything like that. And so I would pop my mixtape and I would drive the strip, crank my 6x9s, you know, and I would just drive down the road. And so I remember just having so much fun cruising and driving. And so Friday nights was living the dream. And I remember the next morning, I had all these pressures on Saturday morning of sleeping in and washing my car and changing the oil. I mean, this was just a lot of pressure I had in life. And so I remember one particular Saturday morning, Friday night was great, had a big up, a big high that night, just a great time. And then the next morning, I was washing the car, and I'd called my dad, and I'm not a car guy. But he told me, "Son, you're going to change the oil." And so he walked me through it, and he taught me through it. And you know, I'm okay with that if everything goes perfectly smooth and there's no hitches, right? But if there's one little problem, there's a lot of anger that wells up inside of me. And so I go in there and I take the oil filter out and I drain the little oil and put it back on and I get my quarts and dump them in there. And I crank that bad boy up and I'm feeling like the man, right? Because I have fixed my car. For me, that was fixing my car. I changed my oil. There was nothing broke until I worked on it. But as I turned it on, it wasn't running right. And I knew right away, that doesn't sound right. I have no idea why, but it doesn't sound right. So I called my dad and I said, "Dad, something happened." He said, "Son, did you change the oil filter?" I said, "Check, I changed the oil filter." He said, "Did you drain the oil plug?" And I said, "Huh?" And he said, "Son, if you didn't drain the oil plug, then you didn't drain the oil." I said, "Dad, oil came out in the filter." He said, "Yeah, that's what was in the filter." And he said, "What you have is twice the amount of oil in your car that you're supposed to have. That's not good." And so what do? He says, "You do the whole process over again." Anger welled up inside of me. I don't do double. I don't do twice. Frustration. And so I went into the back of my car and I got my baseball bat out. And I proceeded with anger to let that anger out. And I began to beat the pine tree in our front yard with that baseball bat as hard as I could. I was so mad. And I'm sure the neighbors thought, "Psycho kid lives next door to us," because he is doing a number on the pine tree in the front yard. But I was so mad, you know. Life does that. You go from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, and it can happen just like that. Now, for me, I caused every bit of my low in that moment. You know, everybody God used in the Bible went through ups and downs. Job, my goodness, did that man go through some ups and downs. Esther, she didn't want to be in the bachelor contest for the king. She didn't want to be in that. No one asked her, you know, but she was there. You know, there was highs, there were lows. Mary, Joseph, Daniel, David, just all of them experienced high highs and low lows. And for us as people to think that we are going to not experience those is very foolish. We are going to experience high highs and low lows. Things are going to happen in our lives. In fact, think about David. Strong guy, even stronger name. David in the Bible had huge up moments. I think about 1 Samuel 17, the most epic battle of all time as David kills Goliath. I mean, you think about that moment. Come on, every boy and every man in this room, don't tell me you have not envisioned winning the battle by yourself, epic battle. I mean, this right here, David, come on. David was living the dream right here. It's all on his shoulders. If you win, if you beat Goliath, Israel literally wins this battle. And I mean, it's all on you. And David's like, "Yeah," you know. And he goes out. And Goliath smack talks David, right? Got a little smack talk back and forth. Goliath says, "Am I a dog?" He roared at David. "And you come at me with a stick," and he cursed David by the name of the gods. "Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." So David said, "All right." You know when you have a moment, you think of something cool to say back to him? Smack talk comes back. David says, "You come at me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come at you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you. I will kill you. I will cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel, and everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with the sword and spear. It's the Lord's battle, and he will give it to us." Now, I got to admit, that's a really long comeback that he had, but I think it was effective. And it says that Goliath moved closer to attack. David ran quickly to meet him, reaching in his bag, takes out a stone, hurls it, hits him in the head. Concussion happened, drops to the ground. David grabs his sword, lops off his... I mean, it's just everything he said he did. And the crowd is cheering. I mean, this is what you would be called an up moment, okay? This is an epic up moment. And the cool thing about this was until this point, no one even knew who David was. This was the moment that God used to promote him to being the king later on in life. But you know, life wasn't all up moments for David. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 30. David had many down moments, but in 1 Samuel chapter 30, David was in the depths of despair. Him and his guys had returned from battle only to find that another military had come in and kidnapped all the women and children from their village and had taken all their possessions and kidnapped them and taken them away. And of course, David's men were mad at him. They wanted to kill David. They blamed him for what other people did, which is weird. But it said that David and his men wept until they could weep no more. You ever been there? Maybe you're there today. Maybe today you've cried until you can not cry anymore. This is where David and his men were. You know, it's one thing to experience the Goliath moments where we're up and everything is great, but the realities of life is we don't live there in that moment. Those moments come, and those moments quickly go. And then here David finds himself. He had just won a battle, had a high, high, and here he is in a low, low. And here's what it says. It says that David found strength in the Lord his God in that moment. See, life is going to have up moments and down moments, but we cannot look for strength in those moments. And I think that's what we try and do. I think we search out moments looking for strength in them. We look for life to do it for us instead of God to do it for us. And I think sometimes we're guilty of living for the moment instead of living for the God of the moment. And God wants to be there for us in our moments. Ups and downs. Ups are great. Downs are frustrating. But they don't matter. Here's what I'm here to tell you today. They don't matter as much as being dry. Ups and downs do not matter as much as us being a Christ follower being dry on the inside. Because ups and downs are things that happen to us on the outside, but being dry is something that happens to us on the inside. Being dry is a condition of the heart. And we can push through external things, but internal things can't be ignored. We may not be able to change the momentum of the outside, but we have to change the momentum of the inside, because what's happening on the inside will affect what is happening on the outside. Life has ups and downs. Those are unavoidable. You may be in a down time today. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. If you strengthen yourself in the Lord, that downtime will be pushed through. But we have to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. We have to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Dry seasons are not God's design. Dry seasons are not God's designs. I'll prove it to you. Turn to Psalms chapter 1 if you have your Bibles. Turn to Psalms chapter 1. Ups and downs are a part of the life and the world that we live in. But dry seasons, dry times are not God's design for His people. We're going to look at Psalms chapter 1, the first chapter right here. Really cool because this is David. This is David talking, the writer of the Psalms. Here's David, the man who had the high highs and the low lows right here. Look right here in Psalms chapter 1. We're going to look at the first three verses. It says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the river bank, bearing fruit each season." Some verses say bearing fruit in every season. "Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." I don't know about you, but sign me up for that stuff right there. You know, I hear people say, "I'm just dry right now. I've just really been in a dry season," or I'm really burned out right now. And hey, could you ever imagine the Apostle Paul saying that as he was writing to the Galatian church? "Hey guys, I'm just writing this letter, but I'm going through a dry, I'm just kind of burned out. Ephesus kind of got me. The Ephesians letter was long," you know what I'm saying? "And it kind of burned me out." And I don't mean to belittle those who have said that or may be feeling that right now, I'm not here to belittle that at all, but I'm here to tell you that you don't have to live that way. Dry seasons are not meant to happen. Down times, yes. Up times, yes. But for a Christ follower, we just had a basketball game yesterday, and we had a lot of ups and a lot of downs, and we'll blame certain people for that in the locker room. But we had a lot of ups and a lot of downs, but I tell you what we didn't have was dehydration. We're going to have up time and down time, but we don't have to be dehydrated. We can get a drink of water. We can get a drink of water. See, God has called us to bear fruit in every season. Dry seasons aren't a thing in God's kingdom. So what does that look like? How do we get a dry, how do we stay hydrated in God's kingdom? What is water? What is planted? What does it mean to be planted alongside the riverbank? How do we do that? Well, water is the word of God. Water is the word of God. Water is the place. It's the place that we're planted in the presence of God. Ephesians 5:25 says, Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. See, God's word is the water for our life. So when David said in Psalms 1:2, meditating on God's word day and night, that's what he was talking about. That refreshing, that riverbank is being planted daily on God's word, on what he said, on his promises, in his presence. And when it's an everyday thing, growth happens. When we're digging into God's word, our roots get deep in him, and dry seasons do not hit our lives. Why does this matter? Who cares if we're dry? Who cares if we read the word of God? Well, I want to give you two reasons here why it matters. Two reasons why we've got to tap into God's word. Two reasons why we have to continue to water our lives with God's word. Not just come to church and have other people get out the water hose and sprinkle us from the stage, but have us actually get out our Bibles and dig into God's word. The first reason is when you're dry, you're not bearing fruit. When we're dry, we're not bearing fruit. Water is essential to production. No water equals no fruit. Dry ground means useless ground. And God does not have us on this earth to be useless. God does not have us here to be idle and bearing no fruit and just existing dry on the inside. See, a dry seed is a dormant seed. A dry seed is a seed that's not growing. It's not producing. And when we're just going through every day and pushing through on our own, we get dry. I want us to know this morning, church, the enemy's goal for you is to keep you dry. Because when you are dry, you are useless, producing no fruit. John 15 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. It says, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. He prunes back the branches that do bear fruit so that they produce even more. He says, remain in me and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. So we have to constantly be in contact with God. There is a place of remaining in him, and we can't get stronger and stronger this year. That's our theme. We can't get stronger and stronger if we're not digging into his word on our own. And I want to continue, I feel like I almost do this every time I speak, but I want to continue to do this and give you the Read the Bible challenge. If you are not reading the Bible on your own, I want to challenge you to do that. If you have not read the Bible through cover to cover as a Christ follower, I want to challenge you to do that. I love here that Mr. iPhone gave us awesome apps that we can get on the YouVersion Bible, and we can listen to the Bible, and we can read the Bible, and it can give us a plan to get through that in a year. You can turn that year into a two-year plan, whatever you feel good about. But I want to encourage you, challenge you to read the Word, to water your life. When you're going through a down moment, you need the Word. But you know what? When you're going through an up moment, you need the Word. We need the Word. I want to challenge you, if you're listening on podcast, read the Word. Read the Bible through cover to cover. See, if we can be planted anywhere, why not be planted next to the Word of God? Why not put ourselves on the riverbank? Why not be right there where we can be refreshed in His Word on a daily basis? Make it a priority to listen to podcasts on your way to work. Make it a priority to listen to podcasts before school, on your way to school. Make church a priority. Why don't we put everything to the back seat? See, why does everything else become the priority instead of church becoming the priority? See, why not plant ourselves next to that riverbank? So number one, why? Why do we need to water ourselves with the Word? Why do we need to be refreshed in His presence? Because number one, when we're dry, we're not bearing fruit. We need to really take a look at our tree. Is there fruit on it? We need to take a look at our tree. Do we have fruits of the Spirit? Are we producing fruit in the lives of others? Because if we're dry, that's not going to be happening. And then number two, the second reason. You know what happens when you're dry? You're thirsty. Think about it. When you're dry, you're thirsty. You know? You're thirsty. And thirsty needs to be filled. No one stays thirsty. You got to do something about it. And when you're thirsty, you know what happens? Your standards change. When you're thirsty, you will drink anything, right? When you are parched, I will lower my standards. This cracked, nasty water hose laying here on the ground, covered in mud on the end, if there's water flowing out of it, I will stick my mouth on that bad boy and drink. Why? Because I am thirsty. See, when you are dry, you need a drink. Dry rotted water hose, yes. That's hard to say. Dry rotted water hose. Puddle on the ground, I'll lap it up like a dog. See, when you're thirsty, you'll drink after anyone, right? I need something. I don't care what they have. I'm going to drink after them. I don't know that that's always good. See, our desperation for a drink is directly related to how dry we are. And when we're dry, we start living for the moment. We start needing a moment. See, when I'm dry, I need a high. See, when I'm in a down moment, I need something to distract me. I need a drink. I'm dry. See, ups and downs, when you are satisfied, do not get you. But when you are dry, you need that up. You need that down. I need something to distract me from my depression, from my frustration. And that's why pornography is so appealing to Christ followers who are dry. See, when we're dry, I need a high. I need something. I'm dry. I'm desperate. I don't care how nasty it is. I don't care how crusty it looks. I don't care. I'm dry, and I need a high. That's why an affair is so appealing, because I'm dry on the inside. I think it's everything on the outside, but it's not. It's something on the inside. That's why pot and prescription drugs are so appealing. And to say that those things aren't happening to God's people in the church is very deceived and deceptive. That's why it's so appealing, because I'm dry on the inside and I need something from the outside. See, when you're dry, you're thirsty, and that's not a good place to be. That's why alcohol is so appealing. That's why drama and gossip is so appealing. Why? Because I have to feel alive. See, we were never put on this earth to feel dead. That's the curse. See, Jesus came to give us life. We're supposed to feel alive. And if I don't feel alive in here, at least I can feel alive out here. That's where we're at. That's why it's important that we stay watered, because dry seasons are not for God's people. I need some water on this dry ground. Jeremiah 17:5 describes exactly what I'm talking about. It says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength. See, that's where we're at when we're dry. We rely on human strength, what we can get from the outside, from our life. And we turn our hearts away from the Lord. It says, they are stunted like shrubs in the desert. So when you're dry, there's no growth. You're a stunted shrub. With no hope for the future, it says, they will live barren in the wilderness, in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed are those who trust the Lord, have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. Here's what they are. What are they? They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. That's us. That's what God has meant for us. That's what God has for our life. But you know what we do? We put our trust in human strength, in human, so human thirst quenching, right? I'm going to do what man does. The key is that we don't ever let ourselves get dry. But when we're dry, we look for some moment to quench our thirst. Let's bring all this together. Turn to John chapter 4, and I want to bring all this together. And I actually want us to have a time of refreshing today. I don't want to talk about a time refreshing. How terrible to talk about drinking water and not offer anybody any water to drink. Hey, water's great. Sorry, you can't have any. So we're going to have a little time of refreshing. I think our band was kind of just getting started today. I think our band was just getting started today, and we had to take a quick time out, and then we'll get right back to the good greatness that they were bringing us earlier. John chapter 4, this is where Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. In verse 5 of John chapter 4, it says, "Eventually Jesus came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the fields that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Please give me a drink.' He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone to the village to buy some food." Verse 9, "The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, 'You're a Jew? I'm a Samaritan. Why are you asking me for a drink?' Jesus looked at her in verse 10 and replied, 'If you only knew the gift that God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water.' But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket or a..." You know, it's so funny. Now, God is talking here, and sometimes we're listening here. He's like, he has this like emotional moment of living water and this and that. And like, yeah. And she goes, "Where's your bucket?" You know, he's like, "Yeah, you're not picking up what I'm putting down right now. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestors, Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and animals enjoy?" Jesus replied, let me try this again. "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again." Jesus said to her, "If you only knew the gifts that I have for you." See, if we only knew, Christian Ministries, that God has more for us than we possess right now. I don't care where you're at. You may be in a great place. The awesome thing about God is he has more. That is so exciting. That is so exciting that we never get to a place. I am so excited about what God has been doing in my heart, in my quiet times over the last few weeks, but I'm also more excited that he has more than that. God has more than that. That's what Stronger and Stronger this year is all about. It's about one word, more. It's about more. Because we all have some sort of strength. If we go in the weight room, surely we can pick up the 2-pounder or the 3.5-pounder. Maybe we're not grabbing the 50s yet, but we all have some strength, and we can get stronger and stronger. And no matter if you're in a down time today or if you're in a great place in life, we have to go to the well of more. We got to be planted on that riverbank. See, when everything's going great, it's easy to think, "I did that," and not give God credit. Those giftings that you didn't create in you, you didn't ask for, but God so graciously gave to us. And you know, when everything's falling apart, it's easy to blame God and say, "God, where are you at?" But he's right here waiting to give us a drink, waiting to give us that living water, waiting to give us that more. And I got to ask us today, are we a steady stream or a stagnant puddle? There's nothing like living water when we're thirsty, but no one wants to drink from a puddle. They want to be in a steady stream. You ever been in a steady stream? It's cold. It's refreshing. You ever floated a steady river? You ever been in those rapids? You ever been in that canoe and tumped it over? It's cold. It's refreshing. But you go in a stagnant, warm puddle, it's nasty. And that's sometimes the way we live as Christians, and that's not the way God's called us to live. God's called us to be in a place of refreshing. You know, there's nothing like water when you're thirsty and you've worked hard all day or you've worked out. But no one wants water from a stagnant puddle. Life has ups and downs. Maybe you're here today and you've cried till you can't cry anymore, I want you to know that God wants to refresh you. Let's stand here this morning. God wants to refresh us today. Let me read what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman. He said, "Those who drink the water I have will never thirst again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them." This is what God has for us, to have a fresh, bubbling spring within us. And then here's the key. She said, "Sir, give me that water." That's the key. God won't force it on you. You have to ask Him for us. And so today, whatever you need, be refreshed. Today our band is going to lead us in worship, and my goodness, they were just getting started earlier. If you need in your seat to stand right there and just worship Him and allow that worship to refresh you, do it. If you need to come down to these altars or those altars or the altars in back and just sit there and say, "God, I need a refreshing. God, I'm in a down moment. I need a refreshing. God, I need an up moment. I'm in an up moment right now, and I give it to You, and I thank You for it, and I recognize that You are my provider, and I continue to just sit here in Your presence, and I want more, and I want to be refreshed. I want to be on that riverbank." Or maybe you'd like to be refreshed in prayer today. I've asked different people in the church just to step out, if you would now, and we'll be here if you need to be refreshed. If you just want, "Hey, I'm in a good place, and I want more. I've been there." Or, "Hey, I'm in a dry place and I need water." Or, "Hey, I'm in a down moment and I need to push through." We'll have different people standing in the middle, people down here in the front. If you need to be refreshed, my point is, you draw the water. You get what you need today. Let's not take it. Let's not come to church and not take advantage of this moment to be refreshed. God has this moment for us today. Ups are going to happen. Downs are going to happen. But dry seasons, that's not for us. That's not for God's people. Let's allow the water of the Word to refresh us today. Let's allow His presence to refresh us here today.
You have been listening to the Christian Ministries Church Weekly Podcast. Join us each week for more messages from CMC.